This morning, I would love for you to turn to the second book of Peter, 2 Peter. Some people haven't got that far in their Bible that they say, I didn't even know there was a Peter. Just go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts and Romans, follow on. Keep on going, keep it sweeter until you find the book of
Peter.
You see, I'm a rapper and I didn't even know it. See, I'm dressing for my wife's birthday. And for little Imani's dedication, isn't she a sweetheart? My goodness, the love and joy that children just bring into the world naturally. Isn't it amazing? God is so good. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1. And we're going to start with the third verse. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. So all the lyrics are in yellow today because the system crashed and everything like that, but we'll forgive them in Jesus' name. In fact, we can just tip-ex it white. Hallelujah. The Bible says this. It says, seeing that his divine power, that's God's divine power, has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these, what's the these? It's his own glory and excellence. God's own glory and excellence have provided what he's about to say. For by his own glory and excellence, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Praise God. I want to read that scripture again. It says, by these, by his own glory and excellence, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, the earth is waiting for you. Turn to your other neighbor and tell him, creation is waiting for you. I've had this with God a few times, and God gives me the same answer every time. It's not that we are waiting for God to do something new and spectacular. According to what the Bible says that by his glory and excellence, he has granted to us precious and magnificent promises. People don't understand many times what they carry on their laps. Don't understand what they read, because we'll skirt over the Bible as though it's any other book. But even you look at the way that... start again with verse 3 there, please. Okay, go to verse 2. Look at this. It starts by saying... Now, remember, translate the word grace. What does grace mean?
Favor.
Favor and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Favor and peace be multiplied to you. Hallelujah. Favor and peace be multiplied to you. Some of you, how many of you need a favor from God? You need God to do you a favor. And he says there, this is the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter to you and to I. To you, sorry, that's bad English. To you and to me. Is that right? Okay, sorry, she's one of them sticklers. Imagine marrying me and she's a stickler for good English. Lord Jesus, help us. God's got a sense of humor. Favor and peace be what? Multiplied to you. I need fresh favor every day. I remember last week, do you remember the Holy Spirit said, he said, impart fresh favor from God. There's something that the favor of God can get you. And you know what it's called? It's called anything. And the favor of God is on you in a particular area. There's nothing that can stop you in that area.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want more of the favor of God. The Bible says, and Jesus grew in stature and in wisdom and favor with God and man. I think it's Luke 2:52, somewhere around there. And he grew in it. So we can grow in it. If Jesus Christ grew in the favor of God, we can grow in the favor of God too. So he says, favor and peace be multiplied to you. Favor. We do not understand the power of the favor of God. You know what it's like? You know, it's like God... Let me do it to my wife so I don't insult anyone. But it's like God does this, right? Look. Bam. That's what it's like in the realm of the spirit. Favor. He just licks his tongue and he sticks it on you. Job done. Favor. Mike Murdoch said this. He said, in life, he said, you only need a few people to like you. You only need a handful of people to like you. You only need a handful of... How many of you... you'd like to be friends with a very famous, like, I don't know, who's that Welsh football player scored for Real last night? Gareth Bale. Can you imagine being friends with Gareth Bale? Job done. Amen. What more do you need? In life, you only need a handful of people to like you. That's one of the things I love about my ministry. Benny Hinn likes me. Pastor Dil Kumar likes me. Apostle Maldonado likes me. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. Lawrence Tete likes me. President of Ghana likes me. You like me? Oh, I wish I'd preached this on my birthday, man. Now I'm preaching it on her birthday. You understand? Hands up, who likes me? Hey, praise God. Hilda didn't put her hand up. I noticed that one. I cancelled every... Oh, you did. Okay. Sorry, I didn't see it. Now, you imagine if the whole world hates you, but God likes you. Job done. Job done. Job done. Favor and peace be multiplied to you. I declare it over your life. I want to make a prophetic declaration right now. Those of you who know how to receive something like that, receive it now. Favor and peace be multiplied to you. Gosh, you know how many people look for peace in life and they can't find it anywhere. I thought this job would have brought me great peace. I thought this salary would have brought me great peace. I thought this marriage would have brought me great peace. I thought raising children would have brought peace. I thought this, that, and the other would have brought peace. But you know where peace comes from. And God, you know what? God has it in such abundance. He has it in such abundance that he can multiply it to anyone who reads his word and who receives it, and he doesn't even hit his resources one iota. Favor and peace be multiplied to you. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, creation is waiting for you. Creation is waiting for you. There's something on the inside of you that God wants to manifest out that is good for this planet. See, the Bible doesn't call us the salt of the earth for nothing, right? So there's something in us. There's a saltiness to us that the world doesn't have. The world needs it, but it doesn't have it. It doesn't know that it needs it because not many people in the world have seen it. Those who have seen it run for it. That's how people get saved, when they see the goodness of God on our lives. You remember what the Bible says? It's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. That's what changed me back in the day in 19... This sounds so far away now. 1984. What's that? 30 years ago. Anyone here under 30? I got saved before you was born. Thank God I did. Man, I was a scallywag going to hell. Absolute bad boy, London N15 postcode. Anyone from N15? No, don't put your hand up. You understand? And everything was going the wrong way, but I saw something. I went to my cousins on holiday in Ireland. This is how I got saved. And we used to go there. We used to party hearty. I had a bag of cash. Girls loved me in Ireland. For some reason, none of the London girls liked me. But, you know, the girls in Ireland, I don't know, like, I had something about it. It might have been my, like, big ears or, and my big hands. Shall I let my wife finish this sermon for me? She's like, she's saying, Paolo, yeah, it was your big ears, yeah. But I didn't know what it was, but you know, I was a real hit there, and I was going there. Oh my goodness me. In fact, the night I got saved, turn your ears, my love. The night I got saved, I had three different girlfriends on the go at once. Okay, you can smack my wrist there. Sorry, my love. Oh, no, that's mercy. Amen. That's not favor, that's mercy. You understand? There's a very big difference. And I was just headed that way to hell. My cousins were headed that way as well, but they were worse than I was. And then when I came over to Ireland to visit them, we were like, when we meet, it's like, oh my goodness, you talk about Bonnie and Clyde, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. That's what we were like. But they changed. And I said, what is it? The moment I walked in the front door of that house, I said, what is it? Something's different here. And you know what they said? It's Jesus. Can you? That's not my reaction. I'm a bad boy. I'm out for drinking and you know, fighting, shoplifting. I mean, the GDP of the West of Ireland used to drop every time that, because I nicked it all. You understand? That's what it was like, right? And something had changed. And they said, it's Jesus. And I said, oh, no, I think I actually swore. Imagine. And I turned around. I didn't even want to go in the house. But there was peace there. Where there used to be chaos, where there used to be dysfunction. Now, if you didn't know my family, then you wouldn't know what level of dysfunction there was, right? But this is 10 kids in a 3-bedroom house, 5 boys in 1 bedroom, 5 girls in another bedroom, and then the mum and dad in the third one, right? I mean, this was mayhem times chaos times lunacy times dysfunction equals that family. Right? When I knocked on the front door to let them know I was there for the first time, there were splinters coming out the front of the front door. And when I asked what had happened, apparently my uncle had tried to kill my cousin with an axe. And he threw the axe at the door and he missed my cousin's head by about a millimeter. Now you understand? Think redneck USA, Alabama times 50, and then you're approaching the mayhem and chaos that used to be in that family. Gloria's marrying one of them. Praise Jesus. God bless your boldness, girl. No, thank God the Lord has changed them something supernatural. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? So that's what met me at the front door, is these splinters coming out the door. And then they explain, oh yeah, my uncle, like it was normal. Oh yeah, dad tried to kill Mike with an axe, but he missed and the axe went through the door instead. So the front door's got like a hole in it with splinters coming out. Imagine. And I walk in and the whole atmosphere has changed. Suddenly, where there was dysfunction, where there was just craziness, where there was utter brokenness beyond measure, suddenly there was favor and peace. Man, you know what? When they told me it was Jesus, I didn't want it because I'd been raised in a religious family. You understand? I went to a religious school. So like the kids used to nick the communions and do all sorts of stuff with them. And, you know, we used to drink the white, you know, the sherry, QC sherry that they use for communion. That was like, you know, that was the whole, all the Catholics are going, oh gosh, Pastor P. And so I'd rejected all that as a nonsense, but then I couldn't deny what I could feel with my own feelings. You understand why? Something manifested in them as a result of them turning to Jesus Christ. Something manifested that wasn't there before. It was called favor and peace. Boy, I'm so glad it did. I'm so glad. I owe them my life. I owe them. You remember in the book of Philemon, for those of you scholars here, the book of Philemon, where Paul writes to Philemon about a slave that's run away. And he says, you know what? Receive him back. He says, even just for love's sake, he says, you even owe me your own soul. Yes. That's how I feel towards them because of what they brought into my life. They brought something there that wasn't there before. They allowed something to manifest in their life that changed my life for life. Yes. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, creation is waiting for you. Now look at what it says in verse 3. We'll go through now in verse 3. Seeing that his divine power, that's God's divine power, has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us. How did he call us? How many of you have been called by phone in the past before? Somebody's called you by phone. How many somebody has called you by letter or by email? Well, the way that God calls is different. He says he's called us by his own glory and excellence. God's means of communication to us, there's a heart thing that goes on. Do you remember, those of you who've been in the way a long time, do you remember the first time you felt the call of God? And it felt so good, huh? Didn't it feel, it felt different, right? Here, you just recently, like, 4 or 5 years or so, is it? What did it feel like?
It was a different experience. You couldn't explain what was happening. It was, you wasn't the same as you used to be.
Wonderful. Now, this is a Hackney boy, scallywag worse than me. See, I could run fast, so I never got caught. This fella got caught, you understand? But that one's under the blood as well. Please turn the cameras off quick. No, I'm joking. Focus them in on this boy. So this is how God calls. He calls us by his own glory and excellence, right? And then he says, and by these, so by his own glory and excellence, verse 4, by these, by his own glory and excellence, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. Now, this is where many times we miss it, right? Because we go to God with our needs. God gives us a promise. You see? And we don't understand the value of the promise. You don't know how to work it. It's like, you ever hear the story about when fly spray first came to the west of Ireland? And, you know, like, it was this miracle fly spray. I don't know, for some reason, in the west of Ireland, there's always a lot of flies. So you go into a farmhouse, it might be because it's a farming community or something like that, and you'd see these fly papers. Anyone remember fly papers? Hanging from the wall. But these ones would be so rank that they'd be like, it was like fly hotel. It was like, I don't know, like, how do you fit 4,000 flies on one fly paper? Hey! Gross, man. In the kitchen. Yeah. Over the table sometimes. So anything that drops off, any more salad, anyone? He's like, no, thanks. No, I'm full up. Thanks. But then fly spray came in. And it was like a miracle thing. So this woman goes into the hardware store and she sees this can of fly spray. She says, what's that? Said, oh, well, instead of, you know, you put the fly papers up and everything like that. So you don't need to look at the flies. They don't stink anymore. You just literally, you just use this thing and then you go home and it's all fine. Everything is fine. The flies just go away and die somewhere. And that's that. She said, wow, give me one of them. Anyway, the next week she brings it back to the shop. She said, this thing doesn't work at all. And the shopkeeper said, why, you know, what's wrong with it? She says, well, I'm chasing the flies around with it and I'm not hitting a single one. Do you understand? Now, that's how we are many times with the promises of God. Right. You see, we say, oh, Lord, I need this, I need that or the other. I need things, as the Bible puts it, that pertain to life and godliness, right? And God gives us a promise. You think, what's that? What use is that to me? And it's because we don't know how to work it. We have to become expert in working the promises of God. Creation is waiting for us to learn how to put the promises of God into action. Somebody needs to see God in you. How, you see, many people, they can't see, even like, you remember the story of the units round about. There's a lot of Asian business people around here. In fact, this is unit 40 to 43, and I think it is 36 out of the 43 units here are owned by the Asian community, right? When we started coming here first, it's like everyone's just pulling up in, you know, ordinary cars or whatever. They just let us alone. And now, like, you know, people have been prospered. God has prospered a lot of business people here. A lot of people just excelling in the areas that God has given them. If it's medicine, there's nobody under consultant level. Do you understand? If it's academia, then we're pushing through for professorships and top stuff. Do you see what I mean? I think of Terry, you know, working at Royal Mail, all the shift work, all the hours that God sent. He's now one of the chief trainers in the Metropolitan Police in Hendon. So don't mess. He'll nick you. You understand? But that, like, just pressing on that excellent spirit, the Bible says, by his own glory and what? Excellence. He has called us, so that's going to manifest out somewhere, right? Some people who come in broke, hey, broker than broke. Happy Tommy to you, sir. Bless you, sir. I mean, you name it, people who just started from scratch, and God has just elevated them and taken them up. Because that atmosphere of glory and excellence, it does something. Do you understand? It takes you to the top. Hallelujah, there's further to go for us. God gave me a goal. Now, listen to this, right? God told me something when I was in Ghana this time, because I do a lot of praying when I'm in Ghana and, you know, in between meetings and stuff like this. God told me this. He says, you've got 6 minutes. I didn't even know this myself. He said, you've got 6 millionaires in your church right now. He said, I want you to set a goal of 100 millionaires by 2020. Now, why does that matter, right? Let me tell you the story. When we pulled into this area, they let us alone, etc., no problem at all. Suddenly, people started prospering. Suddenly, the cars change. You know, instead of a, like, mashed-up Corsa, they're going to the next... Sorry, if you drive a mashed-up Corsa, I do feel, you know, maybe his glory and excellence will... that's right, you push him, girl. It takes you. The Bible says that we go, what, from glory to glory, from strength to strength, and from faith to faith, right? So we suddenly, I have a conversation with a guy across the way. And he says, I don't know what you're doing in that building there. I said, well, you know, we're having church. We're church people. We love God. He says, yes, but there's something more to it. There's something you're not telling me. He says, when I came in, because he would watch all the cars pulling up. When I came in, he said, you know, your people are driving small cars, old cars, you know, dressed ordinary. And he says, I don't know what you've been doing the last few years, but suddenly, like, your car, the car park has completely changed. So some of you are driving Ranges. I've seen a Bentley. I've seen, and he reeled off all of these cuts. So that even the thing that you pay little or no attention to, because forgetting to check, it's a tool, right? It's better than getting the bus. Yeah. And a Bentley is better than, I don't know, a Ford or whatever, or a Peugeot. Lord Jesus, will you pray for my wife to get delivered from the spirit of Peugeot? She loves Peugeot. What do they call it in Ghana? Peugeot. Somehow it fits better. Peugeot. It works better, you know? But, you know, I hadn't paid any attention to this whatsoever. I was thanking God because he was prospering us as a people. But you know what? To these people around, you see why? They can't see spiritual glory.
Right.
But they can see the manifestation of glory. Amen. And you read it in the Bible. God is very serious. Every time he talks about glory, he talks about wealth. Every single time. As far as God is concerned, they are inextricably linked. Now, you can be wealthy without being glorious, but it's much better to be gloriously wealthy. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Creation, you see, is waiting. There's something on the inside of you. Let me give you this scripture real quick. 1 Samuel chapter 16. This is how God showed it to me in Ghana. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And we'll start with verse number 7. Now, let me give you a bit of the background here. Samuel is a mighty prophet in Israel. He carries a very, very heavy prophetic anointing. To the extent when he goes in to a town, the people of the town come out shaking just in case he's there to cause trouble. So when he enters into Bethlehem to look for this person that God has told him to anoint as the next king of Israel, when he enters into the town of Bethlehem, the Bible says that the people gathered and they said, do you come here peaceably? And he says, yes, peaceably I come. That's the King James, right? So then he goes to the house of Jesse, who is the father of the soon-to-be King David. And he says to Jesse, he says, now, I want you to line up your sons. I'm here on an assignment from God. God has told me that one of your sons is going to become the next king of Israel. So Jesse lines up his sons, right? Eliab, Shammah, all these other guys, right? And he lines them up. There's seven sons right there. And one by one, they pass before this prophet. Samuel says to himself, oh, surely this is the one. He says, no. Now, this is where we're going to pick up the story. He says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So you remember that story about the Asian business guy. You see, he's looking at the outward appearance, right? The Bible says the kingdom of heaven doesn't come by observations. Some of you right now, you're riding a bike, you're going to be one of the richest people here.
Amen.
You understand? Because it's not, the kingdom of heaven doesn't come by observations, right? Verse number 8. Then Jesse called Abinadab, made him pass before Samuel, and he said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Verse 9. Next, Jesse made Shammah pass, and he said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." So you can imagine the frustration that is building in Samuel's heart. He knows one of these is called. He knows he's on an assignment, but this guy isn't just, he's just not coming there, right? Verse number 10. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are these all the children?" And he said, "Well, there remains yet the youngest. Behold, he is tending the sheep." Now listen to this. Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." When I heard that scripture, "We will not sit down until he comes here," and the Lord told me this, he said, creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. There's people right now who can't sit down until you appear. There's people, there's things on the inside of you that until you manifest them, the world is waiting. Creation is waiting. There's an unsettlement in their heart. There's people who need to hear what you have in your mouth in abundance. Even just the slightest thing that you have is a treasure chest to them. We are absolutely baptized in the glory of God here. You think of the favor and the testimonies that you've heard, even in this year, the year of glory. There's people now, they can't sit down until they meet you. I think of the divine appointments that you had with people and the number of people that you led to the Lord Jesus, and they couldn't sit down. Something on the inside of them, it's like there's a, you ever see a lock that is waiting for the key to open it up? And we hold the key in abundance for many people. I pray you get this. It's the key to invention. There's certain inventions on the inside of you that God can just unlock in a dream. You remember Prophet Sean Bowles, where God showed him the iPod at the age of 6, and he's now 35, 36 years old. God showed him a sound machine, how to cure cancer using sound. And the University of Berkeley, California, when they heard his testimony, they called him and invited him to be a consultant on the design of that particular machine that cures cancer by sound. He'd seen it nearly 40 years ago in a vision where God took him to heaven. Imagine, there's something on the inside of us that God is waiting for us to manifest in Jesus' mighty name. You see, there's people that you can reach that only you can reach. I was talking to Anthony and Terry Springer this morning. Terry runs a football club over there in towards Wembley. Now, you know, if I went with the message of the gospel, particularly dressed like this, because, oh, come on, posh boy, what's going on? You understand? But brother, if he goes, he's got inroads there already. You see, that's what they're saying on the, they don't know that they're saying this right now. But they're saying it, "We will not sit down, for we will not sit down until he comes here." There's something, I pray that you feel the draw of God on your destiny this morning. There's something that God wants to activate in your destiny today. There's something for you that God has given to you. You see, how much of our lives do we spend chasing the tail rather than the dog? Do you understand? The tail is the money. The tail is the income. The tail is the salary. But you see, the dog is the call of God, if you see what I mean. With all due respect, I don't mean to diss the call of God. The call of God is the great thing. The money follows that. I love what Park Copeland said. He said, "Stop trying to get money in." He said, "Look for ways to get the word out, and money will automatically flow in." Hallelujah. Likewise, there's people saying, "Oh, well, how do I get my ministry recognized? How do I take my business, into people's homes?" That there's something that God can do. There's a meeting that God can put together. There right now are investors who are willing to invest in your idea, and they can't sit down until you come. God knows how to put them together. How many of you, you're hearing what I'm saying? There's something about it. The Bible says in the book of Romans, he says, all creation waits for the manifesting of the sons of God. There are people right now, you think of the number of marriages, waiting to hear what you have in abundance. In abundance. In abundance. They went to Amsterdam, turned this church the right way up. Praise God Almighty. There are people waiting. They're waiting. They're waiting. Let's stand to our feet. Let's thank God for his word. But let's call upon his name right now and ask him to manifest that thing. What is that thing? I've realized in many years of ministry, since 1988, I've been ministering in God. Since 1996, I've been full-time in ministry. And there's one thing that I've realized. You only need a few things from God. Abraham heard the voice of God nearly just three, four times in 25 years, and he became the father of faith. You don't need much from God. The key is to give out what you have. Some of you, you may not be able even to string your testimony together to share with somebody. Don't worry about that. God will use what little you have. Some of you, you step into a situation, you don't know how to move into the anointing. Don't worry, step out. God will show you. God himself will show you. The Bible says, my right hand will guide you. There's some of you, there's a desire to be a great business person on the inside of you, and you don't know how it clicks yet, but God will click it for you. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. All these other things will be added unto you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that you will enable us to get us off our minds. That you would enable us to put you on our minds. That you would enable us to put others on our minds. Father, Lord, as your word says, it's as we give out, Lord, to others. Such as I have, give I thee. If even it's only the tiniest thing, the tiniest testimony, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered. Father, I pray you give every single person here a testimony that they can share. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. God, we give you the glory. We give you the honor and the praise. Let your banner be raised and let your glory be seen. Let favor and peace be multiplied to us today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. If you're in this place today, and as Paulo shared from his heart and the word, if you're here today and maybe you relate to his story, maybe you don't, but you're saying in your heart, I want to leave the life I'm living now behind, and I want to experience that favor and that goodness and that excellence and that love in my life. If that's you and you're saying, I want to really open up my heart to Jesus and make that connection with him today. Just if I can ask everyone just to shut your eyes. And if you're saying, I just want to meet Jesus, I want something of what he's talked about, and I haven't known that before, just while everyone else shuts their eyes, would you just lift up your hand so that I can pray for you? Would you just lift up your hand so that I can pray for you? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Maybe you once walked with the Lord and you're saying, I just want to get back to that place where he is first in my life. Again, if that's you, would you just lift up your hand so I can pray for you? Thank you, Jesus. Father, I speak your blessing over every single person in this place. I just want to lead us all in a prayer, just responding to that word of just dedicating our hearts and lives to him again. So let's all pray together. Just say, Father God, thank you for your love for me. Thank you for your call on my life. Thank you for the destiny that you have for me. I say yes to Jesus. I say yes to your call on my life. I ask you to do in me everything that you want to, that your glory may be seen. and that may people may be blessed. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, don't forget the meeting for those who are involved with the creche, in the creche straight afterwards. If you're here for the first time, please make your way to the cafe. And we would love to give you a cappuccino, latte, whatever you'd like in there. And there'll be people to meet with you. The prayer team this morning are Tim and Sarah. If you have any need, they'll be wearing an orange badge, so you'll be able to spot them. If you have any need, they would love to pray for you. Don't forget, this Friday is our all night. And also, if you're able to volunteer and help with our visit from Apostle Maldonado, please make sure that you speak to Godfrey or myself or any one of the team. God bless you. Have a wonderful week, and we will see you at the weekend by God's grace. So, sorry, it's a Wembley day today. So we do need to, anyone who's double parked, please move your car. It's a Wembley day today. So if you're double parked, please do move your car. God bless you.